Message tonight. I'm going to go to some missions verses tonight, spend a little time in each one of those, and try to bring forth a challenge that God would use in our lives this evening. The third verse I'll go to tonight is Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but let's look at Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20. I'm not going to really preach this tonight, but this is a good starting place for us in the message this evening. Matthew chapter 28 verses 19 and 20. If you're able to do so, when you find your place, would you stand as we show our respect for the reading of God's holy word? And I'll have prayer, and then we'll be seated. You can be seated, and we'll get into the message. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 19. Jesus, of course, speaking to his disciples. I'll go ahead and read verse 18 since we're there. This is a meeting with them after his resurrection, before his ascension. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your precious word. We pray your blessings would be upon the reading of thy word. And Father, I pray now that you would help me as your servant to have clarity of thought. And Lord, I pray for strength of voice and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Help me to say the things which would be helpful and leave those others out. And Lord, I just pray that you would use the message to challenge and strengthen and stir hearts and to do whatever you would want to do in the hearts and lives of people for your honor and glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. I want to give the message a title tonight, and I'd like you to think with me about this message, and I would give it the title of Missions, Not a Novelty, Rather the Heartbeat of the Church. Missions is not a novelty, it should be the heartbeat of the church. Of course, I've just read the great verses known as the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And just to teach on that a little bit tonight, the word teach there is a Greek word that means to make them adherents to or enroll them as disciples. It has to do with evangelizing the lost. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. And the word baptize there means baptize. And the word baptize means to dunk or to plunge or to put them under in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, I figured out a long time ago, if Jesus told the church to win people to Christ and then baptize them after they get saved, then that means when people get saved, they're supposed to be baptized. Amen. That's some people say, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I don't ever want to be baptized." Well, Jesus wants you to be baptized if you've been saved. And then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The word teach there means to train. And to teach them to observe, the word observe there doesn't mean to observe like you're looking at. It means to observe like we observe the Lord's Supper. It means to practice or to do whatsoever things I've commanded you. And the great mission of the church is to win people to Christ, baptize them, and teach them and train them how to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, very familiar verse of Scripture to those that are studying the Word of God and have some background in missions. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, of course, after the resurrection there, Jesus said, But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, when I read the Bible, I do my best to pay attention to what it's saying. And sometimes I read something, and it just doesn't sound right the way it says it. And I'm not criticizing the Bible before you get all worked up about that. But as a young Christian, as I would read this passage, it says both, and then it lists four places. And, you know, I'm not an English major, but I know that both doesn't have to do with four, it has to do with two. And it took me a while, and I was glad when I came to the understanding that what he was saying, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria, the othermost part of the earth, Jerusalem's where they were. And what he was saying is both here and those places at the same time. Both here and there at the same time. Here is Jerusalem. For this church, for where you are in this congregation, your Judea would be the rest of the state of Tennessee. Your Samaria would be the rest of the United States. And the uttermost part of the earth would be the world, everywhere else in the world. And he told his disciples that they would be witnesses here. He tells us we're given the Holy Spirit that we might have power to be witnesses in all of these places. And I alluded to this morning, but please understand, it is this church's responsibility. It is this church's responsibility to evangelize, baptize, and disciple the whole world. And it's Whittier Lane Baptist Church's responsibility to do the same. It's our responsibility. And what I'm trying to impress upon you tonight, and I know this is a missions-minded church, and so I'm not talking down at you at all, but it might be this way in somebody's life, or a temptation to be this way in some individual's life, to treat missions as if it's a novelty or a sideline or something we dabble in. And it's not a novelty. It's the heartbeat of the church. I started out in the ministry as a youth director, never have left that. I still run a week of teen camp every summer and have done that throughout my ministry. And I love teenagers and I love the youth ministry and so forth. But just a testimony about our young people's department. I had a relative in our town that had gotten saved or said she had gotten saved and was attending a different church in our town of a different denomination. And she was all excited one day. She came to me and she said, our church has gotten so much into missions. And the church ran between 300 and 400, and it was one that was noted to have many business owners and affluent people in their church and all that. And she said, and you got to understand, this was back in the middle 70s, but she said, our church gave over $2,000 last year to missions. And I know I shouldn't have said it. Kind of threw a bucket on her there, but I said, my teen department gave more than that to missions last year. They were dabbling. It was something new to them. It was something novel to them. And their missions wouldn't have been church planting missions like our missions programs are anyway. But it can't be a novelty. It must be central in what the church is about. And having said that, I want us to turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. And I want to talk about what I would call the program of world missions. How do we get it done? How do we go about this? Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. If you would please follow along with me here. Romans 10, verse 13, very familiar verses. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We all know about that, don't we? Thank God that somebody introduced us to the Savior, showed us how to be saved, and we call on the name of the Lord, and we're saved by the grace of God. Thank God for that. If you're not saved, hope you'll do that before you leave here tonight. You receive Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Truth of the matter is, if you're a faithful witness for Christ, if you're a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have beautiful feet, whether anybody else realizes it or not. God says they are. And if they look good in His sight, that's good enough for me. Amen? But notice the program here. A preacher needs to preach. In order to preach, he must be sent. And once he preaches, he has to preach so that folks can hear. And folks must hear in order to believe. And once they believe, they can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. The truth is, if people are going to hear the gospel, there needs to be a preacher. There needs to be somebody to spread the gospel. And I saw this video tonight, my heart again blessed by the challenge for the nation of Japan and the Japanese people and millions of people without Jesus Christ and dying. Did you say two per minute? two per minute dying without, and most of them, the vast majority of them, without Jesus Christ. And they're not going to call on the Lord if they don't hear. And they're not going to hear if there's not a preacher. And there's not going to be a preacher if the preacher's not sent. And so we see here, there needs to be those that are willing to go, but those that are helping to send. Look in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. It's talking about the church of Antioch and the call and the commissioning of these great missionaries. It says, as they ministered to the Lord in verse 2 of Acts 13, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, who of course that's the Apostle Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. I want you to notice what the church is supposed to provide for worldwide missions. You know, if it's the job of this church to evangelize and baptize and disciple people all over the world, what are you to provide for that? The very first thing that the church is to provide is the personnel. The personnel. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. Those came out of the church at Antioch. You know that missionaries come out of churches? That's where they come from. That's where God calls them out of. We have a couple out of our church, John and Marcia Riggs, who were saved as a young couple in our church, spent 9 years in our church as laymen in our church, had three daughters, and they surrendered to missions. They surrendered to go to Africa. And they went to Bible college and graduated, came back and interned with us, and then they went to Africa. They're in Zambia in Africa. They've been there since 1996. And now there's 8 churches in Zambia as a result of their going. And we gave them in 2017 and again early this year, we're giving them $10,000 each year besides their monthly support for the last church they've started. It's a city church, and they bought ground. They're getting ready to build a building, and it's a great undertaking. But personnel, it's people like people sitting around you. People that are perhaps right here in this congregation. I know this church has a heritage, a history of people going off to serve the Lord in ministry. They come right out of the church. Christy, who is McGeorge now, our daughter, grew up in our church, grew up in our home and in our church, and surrendered, as I said, at 14 years old and went off to Bible college. And she was so, and I'm not saying everybody has to be this way, but she was so sure that God wanted her to be a missionary, she wouldn't go out on a date with somebody if they weren't a missions major. They weren't planning to go to the mission field. So she graduated unmarried. Spent 3 years at home and after college and just working a regular job and helping in the church and so forth. And a young man that his first semester was her last semester started calling her on the phone. And he had been a friend of my son while he was in Bible college. And we thought, well, this is some kid out there that's just kind of needing some advice or something. And then it got to being up late at night on the phone and so forth. And I told my wife, I said, Christy's got a boyfriend. And I won't make a big long story out of it. They got married and they're missionaries. And they've been over there a good while now and established a church and continuing to serve the Lord. Just kids maybe like your kids. Like my kids. And sometimes they're not kids. Sometimes they're like John and Marcia Riggs, who were, he was about 30 or 31 years old when he went to Bible college. And he's doing a great job for the Lord over there. People that will go. Churches, in order to provide the personnel, please listen, we need to provide the challenge. Missions conference is a good time for the challenge to go forth. And I know that God's not going to call all of us, but I think all of us that are serious disciples of Christ ought to struggle with the possibility that God would call me. We need to provide that challenge. We need to have a vision and ask God to reach down within us, and you say, well, we don't want them to go. Church needs to also provide the willingness. What I mean by that is not only the willingness of the one who's called to go, but the willingness of moms and dads and friends and family and the church itself to be willing to let them go. By the way, God doesn't call the flunkies to go into the ministry. He doesn't call the people who are not faithful, not a part of things. You know, when somebody surrenders, whether it's missions or whatever it is, we're talking about missions, when they surrender to be missionaries, I know when the Riggs left our church, he was a Sunday school teacher and an officer and a bus driver, and they were both choir members. And to be honest, when they left, we felt it. And when they left, the next year, another family left to go to Bible college. But you know, here's the way we need to look at it. I want our church to grow and to prosper and all that, but I'm not trying to build a kingdom. I'm trying to help build the kingdom. Amen? And that's what we need to be about. And I've heard people say things like this, and I'll get into this in another message in greater detail, but I've heard people say things like that, boy, those missionaries, they're so dedicated, I could never do anything like that. And shame on you. You can't do it by yourself, but if God calls you, you can do it, and you need to do it. Talk about how dedicated they are. We'll talk more about that later on. The personnel, the church provides the personnel, the church provides the prayer. They fasted and prayed. Brother Burgett gave a good testimony of how important the prayers are. You know, missionaries go on deputation, they're trying to raise financial support. There's no secret about that. And it's something that needs to be done. It's worthy to be done. But everyone I talk to and everyone that gives a testimony, their greatest need is they say, please pray for us. Please pray for us. Pray for the missionaries. Read their letters. You have wonderful display out there of letters. And I know you can't read them all at one, but maybe some of them, you read these three or these five or whatever, and pray for those this week and pray for the others the next week. Or maybe you have some that are just special ones on your heart and mind. But you have that book that has your missionaries there, and that makes a good prayer list. And pray for your missionaries on a regular basis. They need that. Then pray for their fruitfulness. Not just pray for their safety and their provisions and all that. Pray that God will use them. God doesn't call them to go and not be useful. Pray that God will make them fruitful in the work they've called. And so we're to provide the personnel and the prayers, and we're also to provide the payroll. We're going to stay with P's here. You know, when it says in our text there, in Acts chapter 13, it says they sent them. I don't believe that means a God bless you and a pat on the back. Go get after it. It doesn't mean that. It's our responsibility. Please understand this. I believe with all my heart, and I know it to be true, it is our responsibility to foot the bill for worldwide missions. It's our job. It's our. By the way, Bill Gates isn't going to do it. And the U.S. government is not going to knowingly do it or intentionally do it. Sometimes you have folks that are retired from the military and the U.S. government's helping there, but it's not like they're behind worldwide missions. In our area in Indianapolis is Eli Lilly Pharmaceuticals Company, and they're very philanthropic. They give away millions of dollars every year to charitable organizations, but they don't give anything to missions. At least not what we know to be biblical missions. They wouldn't do anything like that. And by the way, I'm not worked up about that. It's not their job. It's not their responsibility. It's the responsibility of the local church. No one else should do that, because the Great Commission was not given to them. It was given to us. It was given to this church. It was given to our church and other biblical churches. And by the way, missionaries, I hear missionaries, you know, I've heard people say unkind things about missionaries and use names like they shouldn't, like they're out there just for money and this and that and the other thing. And I tell our people, and I believe this with all my heart, It's not just we're helping the missionaries. They're helping us do what God called us to do. As much as I wish I could be, I learned a long time ago, I can't be two places at one time. I can't serve the Lord physically where God has put me and serve Him physically other places at the same time. And if our church is to reach the world for Jesus Christ, thank God there are those that will go on our behalf. We have the privilege of supporting them and investing that ministry. So we are helping them. But it's not just that we're helping them. They're helping us do what God has told us to do. And so the program is that you got to have preachers that are willing to go, that will be sent, that they may preach and folks may hear and call on the Lord and be saved. And we know that the personnel comes out of the church. Prayers should come from the church. And the finances come from the church. It would boggle your mind and my mind as well to not only know what the needs are financially for worldwide missions, but what is being given nationwide for worldwide missions. But at the same time, the needs far exceed what's being given. So we need to have a burden to have a part in that and to do our part for worldwide missions. This church and our church as well, we do what's called faith promise missions. It's a faith promise missions offering. And maybe I'll go into greater detail on that, but maybe not. It's pretty simple. It's an offering, and an offering is something that's above the tithe. It's an offering above the tithe given for the missions work of the church, and it's done by faith. Faith that God will provide it, and faith that God will bless us and the cause of Christ for our faithfulness in giving. Now the reason, by the way, I'm making headway here tonight. Stay with me. The reason that we have a missions program and support missionaries and missions projects, obviously it's to fulfill the Great Commission. That's to obey what the Lord told us to do. Our way of reaching Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth is our missions program and our missions giving. But the reason we do that, please understand tonight, and you say, you're going to say duh in your heart, even though you won't say it out loud, but let me say this again, it's because the world is lost without Jesus Christ. And here's the sobering thought of that all. They are lost and they're going to hell whether they ever hear the gospel or not. So, preacher, that's hard. It's true. Every once in a while I have somebody say, well, preacher, what about those people in countries where they never hear the gospel? Don't you think after they die, God will give them another chance? Let me tell you tonight, I wouldn't be glad that my daughter and her family and my grandkids over there on that island of Nauru, if God was going to give them a chance if a missionary didn't go. You follow what I'm saying? I wouldn't be that inclined to give to worldwide missions like we do if I thought there was another way or another opportunity for them to be saved. In John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Let me tell you what that's talking about there so we don't miss that here. He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. If those folks in Japan are never going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they die, and they've never heard, they're going to get a chance to be saved. When they go and preach the gospel to them, they condemn the ones that are lost, that fail to get saved. Everybody follow what I'm saying? Once they hear the gospel, they're responsible to respond, but it's not about whether they hear the gospel or not, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, Lord. Please understand this. Somebody says, I don't think I agree with that. You better study your Bible. You better listen to what's said. God doesn't owe them the gospel. We do. we do. It's our responsibility. You see, the gospel is a lifesaver. It's the donut on a rope. You know what I'm talking about? You're out there in the water and somebody's struggling and you pull out the lifesaver, it's tied to a rope, you throw it out there, it gives them an opportunity to reach for it. And you can pull them to safety. That's what the gospel is. They're out there drowning and they're going to drown whether you throw them a rope or not. But once you throw them a rope, you give them an opportunity to be saved. And as we well know, some will take the rope. Some will grab the donut, the lifesaver, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation through Him. Others won't. But I'd like for everybody to have a chance, wouldn't you? I'd like for everybody to have the opportunity. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a lifesaver. Some will reach for the lifesaver. Some won't. Some may never have a chance. Think about that. Never have a chance. Lost. And no chance for redemption. Our missions programs are for the purpose of giving people an opportunity to reach for the lifesaver, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, God doesn't owe everyone a presentation of the gospel, but we do. You say, how do you know that? Because the Apostle Paul said, I am debtor, both to the Greek and the barbarian, both to the wise and the unwise. He said, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to them that are at Rome also. We have a debt. It's as if, and I don't have, but if I had the cure for AIDS, or I had the cure for cancer, and I knew what could cure people, you name whatever disease you want, but these incurable, sometimes incurable disease, if I had a 100% cure for cancer, I believe it'd be my responsibility to share it with the world, don't you? Don't you think I would be wrong if I kept it to myself, if I had it? Do you know a more deadly malady than cancer or any other disease is sin? The wages of sin is death, and it's not just talking about the death of the body. The word death means a separation. It means eternal separation from God in a place called the lake of fire. The only remedy for that is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And our missions programs, our missionaries going, our giving, our praying, our being willing to send, it's important we understand we owe that to the world. We owe that to lost souls. You say, the world never did anything for me. That may be true, but Jesus did. And He continues to do things for us every day and will throughout all eternity. By the way, you say, sinners can be so unseemly. Sinners can be so obnoxious. Let me let you in on something. They are that way because they're sinners. Sure is wonderful to see them change when they receive the Savior. So the commission is win them. Baptize them. Teach and train them. The program for winning them is that we need to provide the personnel and the prayers and the payroll. And the reason is obedience. And that should be reason enough. God's told us to do it. But beyond that is that people are lost without Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you tonight. And I trust many of you have already been doing this, but I want to challenge you tonight to make this week a week of praying and asking God, what would you let me or what would you have me to do for worldwide missions? And it could be more than one thing. It could have to do, as we preached this morning, about your manner of life, your personal commitment to the Lord, those kinds of things. It could have to do with finances, what you will give in dollars and cents to worldwide missions. It could have to do with being more diligent in prayer for our missionaries. And yes, in a crowd this size, it's very likely that God's going to call somebody or some of you out of this church into His field, into His vineyard. And you need to be willing to say yes to Him. You know, when God was working on my heart many years ago about the surrender to the ministry. And I didn't know if I was going to be a foreign missionary, a pastor, or whatever I'd be. I just said, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want to be. I want to go and do what you want me to do, just like the song says. I prayed that. But the thing that I just need to settle in my heart was, God, is this really what you want me to do? And if He wants you to, He'll make it clear to you. And then the thing to do is to say yes and don't look back, and you'll have no regrets. Let's bow our heads tonight, please. Heads are bowed tonight.